There are two extremes in the religious world concerning angels. One of those extremes are those who believe that they are still having miraculous encounter with angels in the world today. This extreme is that angels are involved in every aspect of every moment of their lives. But the other extreme that exists in religion about angels are those who deny any and all activity of angels in the world today. So, in order to answer this question, we're going to do what we do with every question of life, and that is, we're going to ask, what does the Bible say? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I think I've seen or felt. What matters is, what does the Bible say? So let me ask you this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, as you find that, let me lay this foundation, because this will help us as we move along. The book of Hebrews, was written to a group of Christians who were on the verge of abandoning Christianity. These were people who had been Jews, brought up under the law, lived under the law all of their life. Then Christianity comes along. They have embraced Christianity. They are now Christians, but because of persecution, they're on the verge of turning loose of Jesus and going back to the old law. So the book of Hebrews was written to these people. So the theme of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. The word better appears more than a dozen times in the book of Hebrews. And it stresses the superiority of Jesus. So the writer says Jesus is better than Moses was. The writer says that Jesus' law, his covenant, was better than the covenant of Moses. He says that Jesus' promises are better than the promises under the law. He says that the hope of Jesus' covenant is better than the hope that was under the law. And so the writer is saying, listen, if you have what is superior already, why would you ever turn it loose and go back to the inferior? Now listen. In developing this theme, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is better than angels. The whole point of chapter 1 is to show that angels are both servants to Jesus and to his people, the church. Let me say it again. The whole point of Hebrews chapter 1 is to show that angels are both servants of Jesus and his people, the church. Now watch how he closes the chapter.
In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, I'm going to read it first from the New King James Version. Are they not, they are angels, read the context, are angels not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Look at the verse. I'm going to read the same verse again in the New American Standard Bible. Keep following in your translation. Are angels not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Look at the verse, same verse from the New International Version. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Now this morning, we're going to do one thing.
We're going to take this one verse and we're going to dissect this one verse. And Lord willing, when we are through with this, we're going to understand what this one verse is saying. All we're doing is looking at one verse, and we're coming this morning to the meaning of the verse. It will astonish you, it will frighten you, it will help you, it will comfort you, and you will have questions when it's over. Now let's look at the verse.
The writer says, are they, that is angels, not all ministering spirits?
Look at the word all. A-L-L, all. Are angels not all? Look at me. Every single solitary angel that God created is involved in the work that we're about to talk about. All. Listen to me. There is no angel that sits and watches this work that's described in this verse, because all of them are hit and step in what's said here. You got it? All are involved in what we're about to talk about. Look at the verse. It says, are not all angels ministering spirits? Now I want you to look at the word ministering. The word ministering is different from the word serve that occurs later in the verse. Look at the verse. Are angels not all ministering spirits who serve? Your translation, instead of saying serve, may say minister. Are they not all ministering spirits that minister? Listen carefully. The word ministering is different than the word minister. The word ministering is different than the word serve. The word ministering in the verse has reference to those who are engaged in a special function for God. They are ministering. That means they are engaged in a divine service, in a royal function for God. Let me illustrate. In the Old Testament, under the old law, priests ministered. Now, under the old law, priests were servants of God. Amen? But they were more than that. Under the old law, priests had a special function in which they served God. Priests were involved in a divine service, in a royal service for God. The analogy I'm making here is that angels today are servants of God, but angels today are servants that function in a divine service that's dedicated to God. Now, listen to this. How thrilling for me to stand here and to understand that God loves me. How thrilling it is for me to stand here and to understand that God cares for me. But how thrilling it is to know that God so loves me and that God so cares for me that God has these servants that perform this special function for him, and that special function is to help me. They're ministering service. The function they perform is divine. It is of God, and it is for God. We good? Look at the verse. Are angels all not ministering spirits sent forth to serve? Look at the word serve. Yours may say minister. The word serve there is different from the word ministering. Totally different word. The word, if you're in the King James, the word minister in the verse is totally different from the word ministering in the verse. The word serve, look at me and follow best you can. The word serve in the verse or minister in the verse is having reference to a service that is done for man. Now watch. The word serve there means to attend to. It means to wait upon. but not in reference to time where I'm waiting, but in reference to serving. When you go to a restaurant, a waitress or a waiter comes to your table, and what do? They wait on you. That's what this word means. They are attendants. They are waiting upon. They are servants. Now look at me and let's put it together. Ministering is a word that has reference to what they're doing for God. Serve is a word that has reference to man. Brethren, angels are rendering a special function for God, and that special function for God is to serve man. Look at the verse. Does that make sense to you? Let me say it like this. Angels are tools that God uses to help his people. Now watch. If you call a plumber to your house, the plumber comes to your house and he has tools. He may use a pipe wrench. He may use a snake to clear a drain. He may use a screwdriver. When the plumber is done, you don't praise the pipe wrench. You don't praise the snake. You don't praise the screwdriver. You praise the plumber. Listen, angels are tools that God is using to help us. But we don't worship the tool, we worship God. We don't praise the angel, we praise God. Angels are tools that God uses to help us. This shouldn't be shocking. Look, God used angels in the past to announce his will. He does it all the way through the Bible. Go tell him this, go tell him that, and the angel went and told him. In the future, God will use angels to announce the judgment, and God will use angels to separate the unfaithful. The angels will be the enforcers at the day of judgment, according to Jesus. God used them in the past to announce his will. Not anymore. We have his will. God will use them in the future to administrate the day of judgment. That's to come. But now, today, God is using them to help his people. It's deep. Now watch how the writer very specifically defines all this. Look carefully at the verse. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent forth to serve? Watch it. For the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. Listen. This special function that the angels are performing for God is the function of serving those of us who are saved. Look, they're going to serve those who inherit salvation. That's us. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, Peter is addressing Christians. And Peter tells those of us who are Christians, he says, you have an inheritance that is undefiled, it's not going to fade away, and it's reserved for you in heaven. This special function that the angels are rendering for God is to serve those of us who are saved. Let me tell you what that means. That means that as long as there are Christians in this world, there will be angels who are active on their behalf. Now let me lay this down. Angels help us, but we still live in a fallen world. We still live in a world that pledges its allegiance to the devil and to sin and not to Jesus. Satan is the god of this world because Satan is whom the people of this world have pledged their allegiance to. Angels help us, but we still live in a world that is fallen. Angels help us, but God has never promised that his people will be spared from turmoil. Job had a whole bucket of turmoil poured on his head. Angels help us, but there are still lions' dens. Angels help us, but they're still fiery furnaces. Angels help us, but they still kill the preachers. Angels help us, but they still stone the prophets. Angels help us, but they still crucified the Messiah. So don't think that because you have this divine special help that's brought from the very throne room of heaven to help you, that God has promised you anywhere, anytime, any place, angel insurance, because you're still going to have to deal with life. You still with me? Don't leave now. Oh, don't leave now. I ain't got to the good part yet. Every single angel is engaged in a special function for God. That special function is to serve, to wait on, and to attend to God's people. You with me that far? Now, look at the verse and don't get lost in the next minute. Look at the verse. Are they, angels, not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are who inherit salvation? Look at the verse. Look at the verse. The Bible has to be read carefully. Look at the verse. How does the verse end? Does it end with a period? Does it end with an exclamation point? Or does it end with a question mark? Ooh, that's a question mark. You gotta help me now, or we're about to all get lost. The verse is in the form of a question. Now watch this. The verse is formed in the Greek not only as a question, but it's formed as a question in the negative. Look at the word not. Are angels not? The verse is formed in Greek as a question that's in the negative. But the question isn't being asked to accentuate the negative. The question is being asked in a negative in order to stress the affirmity of the question. You say that doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. It is a form of speech that is sent forth to demonstrate an obvious truth. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. The question is, look, are not all angels in a service to God sent forth to serve those who are saved? And the answer to the question is like, duh, yeah, that's what they do. We do it all the time. Let me illustrate. Here's the question. Are we not all assembled here today because it's Sunday? Well, what's the answer to the question? The answer to the question is, duh, yeah, that's why we're here. Question. When service is over, are we not all going to go out there and get in the car and drive home and not walk home? The answer is, yeah, duh. It's a figure of speech that is stressed in order to show what is an obvious truth. And the obvious truth in the verse is that all angels are engaged in a service for God, and that service is to help the saved. I'll give you another one. Everybody here will get this. Everybody here will get this. A negative that's meant to stress the affirmative. Everybody will get it. Are not the Detroit Lions gonna lose the game today? Duh, yeah! Now you got it. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. When he got off of Jesus and went to sports, I picked right up on it then. Is that all right? That's all right. Okay. It's all right, so I'm going to keep going for another minute here. All right? Let me show you one more thing in that verse. Look at the verse. I'm going to show you one more thing. Jamaicans laugh different than the rest. Never mind. Verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Now watch the phrase, sent out to serve, or sent out to minister. Do you see those four words? Sent out to serve, sent out to minister. That little phrase right there in that verse is in a present tense form. You say, I don't know what that means. Yeah, you do. What that means is that them being sent out to serve is something that happens continuously, constantly, and ongoingly. And in other words, this is what they do. Now, here's what the verse says. This is what the verse says. The verse says that every single angel is engaged in a divine service for God, and that divine service, that divine function, is to render service to those of us who are saved. And the angels perform this service to us for God continually, ongoingly, and constantly. That's what that verse says. Two sentences in a close. Sentence number one. Angels serve Christians. Angels serve Christians. Sentence number two. There is no hint or suggestion anywhere in this book that angels serve non-Christians. Not a hint, not a suggestion, not a thought. Angels with Christians. Wow. What a comfort. Amen? What an encouragement. But now, what is it that they're exactly doing? All right, they got this special function. They're doing it for God, and they're doing it to you if you're a Christian, and doing it to me. But what is it they're doing? That is what we're going to talk about next Sunday. Now look at me. I'm actually coming back next Sunday too. Did you pick up on that? And the next one. If the Lord would keep me upright. Listen. Now next week the weeds are going to be tall. Because we're going to have to go through the Bible. Okay, now what are we doing here? And we got to be careful what we say. But here's what we live by. We live by faith. And I understand that enough of this book has been proven, that which can be, that gives me the faith to understand that what hasn't been proven yet doesn't mean it's not going to be proven at some point. So when I head out into the world and the world tips upside down on me, and on the worst day of my life, when the world hates me and when the brethren look at me like they wish I'd drop dead in the next 2 seconds so they can step over my dead body, when I get there, I still understand. I ain't alone. I ain't alone. Because God has sent folk from the throne room of heaven to serve us and to help me. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you walk out that door, you're going alone. You're going alone. This morning, if you've never been baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, you need to do that. If you're a Christian and you're playing church, you're alone. You're alone. Whatever you have to do in your heart to get right with God, according to this book, you do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.